This is the closing market report for a Friday afternoon. It's the 25th day of August. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible and the Morning Farm Report. Hey, Eric, thanks for being with us. Let's get right down to business. Tell me about Harvey first.
Yeah, Hurricane Harvey is currently a Category 2 strength hurricane. We've got wind speeds that are sustained at about 110 miles an hour. But I was just looking at some radar data, and we're starting to see some return suggesting over 120 mile an hour winds. And the big uncertainty with Harvey is it going to be able to do what we call an eyewall replacement before making landfall later on today? And it's got basically two concentric rings that make up its inner eyewall and its outer eyewall. And if that outer eyewall does contract in, that will allow it to really strengthen rapidly before making landfall. But it's the landfall that's most important here, and that's because Hurricane Harvey, is right now kind of being controlled by some higher atmospheric pressure to both its west and to its northeast. And what that means is those steering winds are not allowing Harvey, once it makes landfall, to move too much. And this is where the biggest threat from Harvey comes in. Some model forecasts project anywhere along the Texas coast between Corpus Christi, maybe so far enough south of Brownsville to Houston, may see anywhere between 10 and 30 inches of rain because of this system stalling out. And that's really the biggest threat. And it's interesting because what this reminds me of was Tropical Storm Allison in 2001, which went to the same area, a little bit farther to the north, but same general area, and just sat there and kind of spun over that area for several days. And if you didn't know a little bit of history about hurricanes, Tropical Storm Allison is the only system, tropical system, to ever have its name retired, where the tropical system did not achieve hurricane status, which means it didn't have sustained winds above 74 miles an hour. So this is, that's a pretty rare thing to say. And Harvey's kind of following in Allison's footsteps. And I am almost certain that we're going to retire Harvey's name after we see how much flooding we're going to get out of this. I'll say one other thing. Some of Harvey's kind of rain bands make it over toward New Orleans. And if that happens, that could cause some problems because their pumps are not functioning fully. Now, if we think about agriculture, what I'm worried about here is that the best guidance we have for after the weekend for the remnants of Harvey is to track through parts of Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, getting up toward the southern parts of the Corn Belt. Now, remember, they're doing harvesting in the lower Mississippi and mid-Mississippi river valleys right now. So this is going to be potentially a lot of rain hitting an area that's really trying to get a lot of field work done. So Harvey is causing a lot of problems right now for the U.S. That is for certain.
Okay, and then let's talk a little bit about other things that are happening. In the Corn Belt in particular, what kind of system do we have and what does the pattern look like?
Yeah, so we got to deal with the fact that we have a low-pressure system, a weak one that's moving basically through parts of the Dakotas today and early tomorrow, and then eventually over to parts of Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois. Not going to be a widespread precipitation maker for Illinois, but it's certainly going to be for those states to our north and west, bringing in some rain. And it's that pattern that's important to be talking about, and that's because, well, that broader trough we've seen over the eastern half of the country has brought in some cooler temperatures. We saw, our first frost advisory is going up for the UP of Michigan, so that's pretty far north, but still, a frost advisory was up there today. They're expecting chilly temperatures again tomorrow. And while all that's happening, the west is baking. There is a huge ridge out west, and there's heat advisors out for Southern California. So this is a pattern we have to be on the lookout for, and I don't see it breaking down anytime soon. In fact, one thing that's got me concerned is the models have kind of honed in on our next kind of bigger trough coming through, let's call it September 3rd, 4th, somewhere in that area. And if that trough comes through, it could also introduce a frost threat for the very, very northern fringes of the Corn Belt. I'm not talking about a Corn Belt-wide frost event at this point, but it's just the fact that we get stuck in this pattern where we have this broader trough over the east, ridge over the west. That increases our chances of getting cool and staying cool. So you're right. We got to watch that from now all the way through mid-October, which is when the typical frost date is for central Illinois, at least. So, yep, that pattern is crucial to be on the lookout for this fall.
Well, the good news is you'll be on the watch for it, and all I have to do is ask.
Exactly. Hey, that's my job.
Hey, thanks so much, Eric.
Thank you.
That, of course, Eric Snodgrass, he is with Agrible, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon.